Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of I'm Like Anime. My name is George. I'm joined by Tony.
No, you're not.
I am totally joined by Tony.
He's not here.
He's in total denial. He's in Tony denial.
My name's Steve.
All right, Steve. I hope you watch some anime this week.
I'm just kidding. It's Tony. Oh, I fooled you.
My God.
Steve doesn't watch anime. I mean, he does, but only like Dragon Ball and, you know.
Yeah.
Literally just Dragon Ball. And so he just watches it over and over.
And not even Z. He's just...
Yeah, the original Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Well, hey, nothing wrong with that.
He's really into it.
It's a good show.
Steve.
So we pick up where we last left off. We got some more episodes to cover of Spring 2021.
Yep. Week 3. This is part 2. This is the Saturday anime. I always say it a weird way, but, you know. This is anime that airs on Saturday, which actually is getting slimmer and slimmer for us. We've got less things to cover this episode than we do in either the prior or next episodes that we're going to be doing. So,
well, our last episode was longer than we intended it to be. So this one will hopefully be shorter than that.
Yeah, but it was, you know, hopefully more enjoyable. There's more to enjoy, right?
True.
Yeah. So enjoy it, friends. Anyway, let's start this one off. I believe you're kicking this one off, right? Oh, yeah, no, it's both of us.
My Hero.
I was thinking about next episode.
We got My Hero Academia.
My Hero.
Gigantic show. Gotta cover it.
Episode 92. I wrote down the actual episode number this time.
Nice.
This would be 5-3 or 4. I don't know. One of those. But let's just go episode 92.
92, yeah.
All right.
There you go. I like it.
So in this episode, much like I predicted last of our episodes, it's class 1A and 1B punching each other a whole bunch.
Well, that's a little reductive, I think. I mean, yeah. There was more than punching. There was strategizing. There was, their first plan didn't work. They had to regroup.
By punching, I mean battling. Let's just say battling.
Fair enough. I took it very literally.
All right. There was a lot more than punching. So I don't have a whole lot of notes. My notes basically say, if I have to watch them punch each other for multiple episodes, at least I get to enjoy some Tsuchan this episode. And I have to say, my other note is that I'm not completely opposed to this brainwashing guy. Like he seems cool. I like him. I like the character.
Shinso.
Yeah.
I like him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good character. I'm glad we're bringing him in. I'm glad we're getting to know him and stuff. But yeah, what about Tsuchan, guys? You know. All right.
She's great. Froppy.
Yeah, I love her.
She's really good. She's one of my favorite characters as well. I don't know. I really liked, I mean, because, you know, we talked about last week, you know, we talked about the possibility in this arc of them doing these battles with the Class B of something crazy happening, unexpected.
Right.
That did not happen this episode.
I do have one more note regarding that, but that'll be later.
Okay. So that didn't happen this episode, which is fine. I really enjoyed this episode. To me, it's I'm still at a 7, as I was last week, which I know is different than what you were at. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the... I mean, we had... let's see if I can remember. We had Shinso, Froppy on a team, along with Kaminari. Is that his name?
Lightning guy, right?
Yeah.
Sounds right for his name, yeah.
Lightning guy, and then the guy that has, like, the rock ability.
Rock guy, yeah. Red, what's his
name? Red Riot?
Red Riot?
Is that, that's I can't remember his actual name.
His hero name, I think. I don't remember his actual name.
And then there's the one guy that talks to animals, and he's cool.
Oh, yeah. Animal talking guy. I forget his name, too.
And one of my favorite parts about this whole setup, because I know you know, last week you went into this being like, ugh. You know, we just get to these formulaic battles or whatever.
Yep.
But I like it because it showcases, you know, some of these characters from both classes that don't always get a shine because, you know, when there's an actual real threat, it's like Deku, you know, or some other, you know, more powerful hero stepping in to take control. And so I kind of like to get to know some of these other characters more. And Shinso, this brainwashing guy, was really cool. Like he's got this mask that changes his voice, but then also shields his mouth, so you can't tell when it's him talking. It's a very clever upgrade he got for his quirk, and it works to great effect in this. And I don't know, I enjoyed them coming up with an original plan, it falling through, and they lost. Somebody got captured. I don't remember.
Animal control guy, right? Oh, wasn't he the first to get captured?
It might have been him.
I think so.
And then in return, they end up capturing one of theirs, one of Class B's. But he was all, yeah, Froppy wrapped him in her tongue. And he was like, oh, I got captured, but I was, you know, her tongue touched me.
The tongue. Got the tongue.
Lest we forget they're, you know, still sort of, I don't know, teenagers. And
adolescents.
Yeah, adolescents. And they have raging sexual hormones.
Yes.
Which is fun. It's fun, fun aspect, but
yeah, in actuality, compared to the way I felt about this episode last week, looking forward to the way I felt about this episode while watching it or after watching it even, I liked it more than I would have thought because it gave us a lot more character stuff than I would have assumed from, you know, there've been so many episodes where it's just like literally it's just fighting.
Yeah.
Which is boring if it doesn't reveal anything about the characters. This gave us a fair amount about characters. It gave us some not hugely important character development or anything like that, but it gave us a little focus on some characters that we don't see as much.
Yeah.
And gave us some, well, I mean, with the brainwash boy, you know, I mean, it's all sort of character development for him because he's new. But for the other ones, we got to see a little bit more of how they have developed their skills since we last saw them, I guess.
Yeah.
And
some more personality stuff. Like I wrote down the Class B, the Vine girl. I think her hero name is just Vine or something. I don't know her actual name. But she's got this whole like religious persecution complex going on, which I didn't really, because she was introduced in the whatever it was called. It was like it wasn't the school festival, but it was like a couple seasons ago when they like did the whole tournament.
intro battle thing, right? When they were wasn't that like maybe even first season where they were competing to see like what class they got into or something maybe? Or
I thought it was a little later than that, like maybe end of first season, beginning of second, where they were it was like sort of like a school festival, but it was like a tournament and the, you know, big stage and, you know, in front of all these people and stuff. And it was Kaminari, I think that's his name, the electric guy that fought her originally. And so it is
Kaminari.
Kaminari, okay.
Yeah, I've looked it up.
But yeah, he fought her, you know, back then for that, you know, school tournament or whatever it was called. And so it was kind of fun to revisit that. And, you know, they captured one of their people in this episode. And she was like, you know, you must be punished. You should be whipped. And then in the end, that, you know, they Class B ends up losing. And she's like, you know, praying to God. Like,
that's weird. They don't have her hero name on. I'm just looking at the character page on My Anime List. Her name is Ibarra Shiozaki.
Shiozaki.
Yeah, she's 15. Her birthday is September 8th. She is 167 centimeters tall. Her affiliation is UA, whatever that means, I guess. Oh, UA.
The school.
UA, yeah, I got that.
What's her favorite food?
As soon as I said it, I got it. But and her quirk is vines.
Okay.
And she's a student in Class 1B, but it doesn't say what her hero name is. So
it showed title card at some point that said Vines or Vine, and so I assume that was
her quirk. Yeah.
Maybe they're one in the same name wise for her. I don't know.
I believe Ibarra is her first name. Actually, it says Ibarra Maria Shiozaki. Maria.
Nice.
Is that what they called her?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't know. She's a side character. I don't care. She's not Froppy.
That's true. I kind of like her though. I like.
Yeah. No, I mean it was nice to see her and then to see her get sort of beat without her realizing it, even, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she got brainwashed and
that was amusing. She just sort of woke up in the cage and
yeah.
Yeah.
And then they did that. They're part of their after they regrouped Class A. You know, they Froppy had the idea to cover them in her, you know, toxin or whatever mm-hmm. that she secretes. It's like only mildly harmful. It just stings a little bit.
It stings a little bit. Yeah.
And so that kind of threw off the beast guy.
Yeah, because he was smelling three Froppies.
Yeah.
Coming at him. Yeah.
That was fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good strategy. You know. Yeah. Good, you know, analyzing your opponent's skills and using them against them. Yeah.
And I have to imagine part of what we see in this school exercise that they're doing is going to pay for, you know, pay out later, you know, going to be a callback at some point. I assume we'll see.
Yeah. So at the end, the next episode preview thing, it looked like Deku's group is next. Is that right? Did you get that as well? I don't remember. I thought he was later, but
yeah, I don't remember seeing Deku. I remember seeing what's the guy that has like the shadow yeah, I think he's in it. I don't remember Deku though. I think he is going to come later.
I thought in the end of episode preview of next episode they showed Deku fighting or something, which is why I thought his group was next, but initially I thought if I remember the order that they set up in the previous episode, Deku wasn't until later. So I don't know. This is where my prediction of you being correct might come into play, is if Deku is fighting in the next episode, that means something has gone awry, I assume. Unless they're going to cover all four of the next four battles in one episode, or at least three of the next four in one episode.
Maybe only some of the battles are noteworthy and need to be delved into.
So my assumption was, you were talking earlier about how, you know, when bad things happen, it's always Deku who's in the forefront, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So that means that for your idea of this training exercise getting interrupted, to sort of come true means that it would probably be during Deku's group's exercise that would be interrupted and then Deku would sort of take the forefront, right? I was assuming it wasn't coming for several episodes, but because they showed him fighting in this next episode, at least I'm pretty sure they showed that. Maybe the next episode this happens. Some big bads come in and shake things up.
Could be, yeah. I don't remember seeing him in the preview, but I'm not saying you're wrong, but yeah, but that would be cool.
I'm not wrong, George.
If we get to that, that'd be great. I would also argue that maybe Shinso, the brainwashing guy, could involve him. You know, he seems like he's going to be a important character. I'm getting that vibe from his introduction in this season and or reintroduction rather. But
yeah, he definitely seems like he's going to be part of whatever's going on going forward. Yeah. So next episode, I guess, not sure. It could go any of many ways. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my hero. This episode in particular, I gave a 6 out of 10, which is sort of an uptick for me. I would have given it 5 of 10, except Suchon gets a bonus point. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and she was prominently featured and it's a great effect, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We got to spend some time with her. That was nice. Yeah. I enjoyed that. So next up, we got some puppets, I guess. Is that a thing we talk about on this show? Puppets?
You know, I am a fan of the puppets.
Oh, I like Muppets. Are they like Muppets? Puppets?
I mean, as in the sense that they're puppets.
Are they like dog Muppets or something? Like puppets?
Yeah, now you're thinking too hard.
I've never heard of this puppet thing you're talking about.
So Thunderbolt Fantasy, if you've been following along, I'm a big fan of the first two seasons. I think they're phenomenal. Gen Urobuchi is the name of the writer-director that I was trying to think of last week, who wrote Madoka Magica and directed, and also he's behind Fate Zero and Psycho Pass first season. Anyway, yeah, I'm a big fan of his, and I enjoy his work. But this season, I don't know. So far, I'm scratching my head, and things are happening maybe a little too fast, and there's a lot of, like, there's some red herrings and some things that are just, like, I'm just questioning the writing at this point. Now, I'm going to keep this short because I'm going to circle back in the coming weeks to Thunderbolt Fantasy, because I want to rewatch the first two seasons, because there's characters that are coming back that I vaguely remember or don't remember that I'm like, I feel like I should, like, it's been a while. Like, the second season finished, I want to say, like, a couple of years ago. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, 2018 probably, right?
Yeah, maybe in 2.5 years ago. And in the first season, you know, probably a couple of years or a year before that. So I'd like to revisit it. I really love those first two seasons, and this current season picks up directly from the end of the second season. So I think it'll behoove me to catch up, you know, reintroduce myself to everything that's happened thus far, and maybe I'll have some better context. Because I really love this show. Like, let me be clear, and I don't want to do it a disservice, and I don't want to dislike it either. But it's kind of underwhelming me at this point, and I'm gonna save myself from getting too into it this week, and I just caught up on One Piece, so I have a lot of free time, and now, so I'm gonna catch up on those other two seasons and kind of rewatch the this one as well, and yeah, hopefully by next week I'll be caught up on that, but if not, the following week I can give a full report, because I don't want to.
All right. I mean, I'm a little disappointed because unlike you, I'm on the opposite side where I actively want to dislike this show. You're giving me nothing to dislike. So,
well, I can give a quick rundown. Like,
you don't have to. If you need to review before we go on, that's totally acceptable.
All right. I'll do that.
Let's do that then. All right, so next up we've got Nagatoro-san, the short title I have written for it. What is it? Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro, episode 2. All right, so less than 60 seconds into this episode, and I already want to stop watching it.
Is she still a big old jerk?
Less so, actually, but... it looks like they're finally getting to some of the H-y things that the previews sort of indicated might be present in this show. So they're peppering that in for your enjoyment, if you enjoy those sort of things. Yeah, she feels less evil and more playful, almost even likable or endearing to some extent. I have trouble identifying with the main character. Like, he's just so... I'm not an alpha guy, but he is so just weak in every way. And I don't know. He does show a bit of gumption this episode, and like, I don't know.
He's an easy target for her.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy to torment him, even in the simplest ways, right? And she's less more.
that sums it up right there.
As I said, she's less evil in this episode. She's not as much like evil. She's just difficult for him, bothersome for him. And he just shirks away from all of the confrontation for the most part. I don't know. I'm just not that into the characters. I am not I don't know what story there even is. So far, there's none, essentially, other than possibly there being some sort of budding romance that hasn't really been indicated, but that's the only way I can see it going.
But it's like, if that's the case, it would be a romance born out of dysfunction, right? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
An unhealthy relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't have very much to say about this episode. I'm sorry. If you're enjoying it, let me know on whatever form of online media you can contact me, of which there are many. Stay tuned for the end of the show where I'll name a whole bunch of them. But yeah, at this point, I think I've just had enough of this show. I have no reason to continue watching it. It's at 5 of 10 now, which it has been the whole time. I mean, it's only 2 episodes in, but it's, you know, stayed at a 5 of 10, has not improved, has not given me any reason to care or continue watching. So it's now dropped. So okay. One less Saturday show. So we're getting closer to the great merge that will be coming in, I don't know, probably at least a few weeks before we get there. We're going to start merging, probably move from 3 episodes a week into 2 episodes a week. As we get less and less shows to watch. Although, based on last week's episode, I might be adding at least one other show to my list. So, but that'll be part of a different show, not Saturday shows. Anyway, we should just move on to the next thing.
Yes. Next, we have a show we're both watching, Tokyo Revengers.
Yes. So... in the first episode, all right, so I have a problem with plot devices being used here.
Let's hear it.
In the first episode, I wrote down character names so that I could say this correctly. In the first episode, Takemichi was sent back when he died while thinking about his middle school girlfriend, right?
And they replay that scene in this episode, and it kind of looks like he was pushed. Like
he was bumped into or pushed or something.
Yeah.
Certainly, it was indicated in the first episode as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happened.
I didn't really fixate on it on the first episode, but this time I was like, I don't know. But just a side note.
There could be more to it, but they haven't indicated that there's actually anything to that. Maybe it was just he was bumped into, I think, is what we're supposed to think at this point.
Yeah.
But maybe at a later point, they'll harken back to it and say, oh, yeah, remember that? Yeah.
I'm imagining, if that's the case, I'm imagining like there's this whole new thread of like, here's what you didn't know that, you know, was happening. But
I mean, other time travelers, presumably, I suppose, right? That's the only thing I can think of. But
and time travel shows in general, a lot of issues, but continue.
Yeah, so I have issues with, that's how he traveled back in time in the last episode. And then to travel back to the current time from the past that he was in, he shook hands with his middle school girlfriend's little brother. After having a, you know, heart-to-heart conversation about stuff, saving her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now, in this episode, her little brother, who has survived because he didn't die as he had at the beginning of the previous episode.
Because he remembered the date that Takemichi told him and all of that.
Yeah. So, and then he used that knowledge to save himself and then also to save Takemichi. Like as soon as Takemichi fell on the tracks, he jumped in, grabbed him off the tracks and saved him. But now in this episode, he's saying that because you shook hands with me and that brought you back to the present, then that means all you have to do is shake hands with me and that will send you back to the past again, which makes absolutely no sense. And I thought that they were setting it up as a bit that was going to fail, like not really a joke or humorous thing.
It's like
or
a
anything.
Foil or something.
Yeah.
Like.
That's what I thought they were setting up, but no, literally shake hands, go back in time.
Yeah.
So it basically, I mean, it sort of lost me from that point. Like it's just so absurd, so conveniently written, just,
Yeah, I agree with that. It didn't lose me as much as it did you, but because I think because of time travel shows, I'm already like, okay, like I'm not going to you know, be so harsh on the specifics of how you time travel and how this affects, you know, other, you know, the current, whatever. Like, what are we doing here? That's what I want to know.
But, I mean, but you can be super stupid about it, and I'm still on board. Like,
yeah.
Steins Gate.
Well, I was going to bring up Steins Gate.
Super stupid, but it works because they laid the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, they laid groundwork that was completely different from what they did, and that's what bothers me. And it just took me out of the reality of the episode, and for the rest of the episode, it was just constantly swirling in the back of my mind, and I couldn't really focus on what was happening in the episode. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, that's entirely, it's fair, and I'm with you, because I had the same thought, because I was thinking, we don't know this guy's name, the younger brother of his middle school girlfriend, but...
I don't think I wrote it down, but I...
Yeah, I didn't either.
I did know
it. I have her name and his name, but not the younger brother. But, so he finds, you know, I don't remember, was there a scene where he saved him off the tracks, or that was just assumed?
No, it wasn't assumed. It was stated matter-of-factly, because after, what's our main guy's name, Takemichi? Mm. After Takemichi wakes up in the hospital, they tell him, oh, this guy, you fell on the tracks, but then this guy... grabbed you and saved you off the tracks.
Oh, okay.
That was the end of episode 1. Say it. And then he meets him and it's his younger brother and they probably shake hands, but he doesn't time travel. Anyway.
I don't remember them shaking hands, but yeah, when they meet and he takes him to some room and he's making him study all this information. So for when he does go back, and I kept thinking similar to what you're saying, I kept thinking they're going to have to recreate the circumstances of when he first time travels.
Yeah, I literally thought that he was going to have to die again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was expecting that the whole time.
Yeah, and that could have been, I don't know, that could have been a tense scene, or at least an amusing, funny scene.
Like super tense. Like, is it going to work? Am I just killing this guy? Like, I expected the little brother cop to, like, shoot him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
To or send something. Him back. Yeah, something.
And I was thinking, literally, like, they're going to have to go back to the train tracks and, like, do exactly, like, let's not change anything about, you know, the circumstances of how this originally happened.
Yeah, because why would you assume?
No, I agree. And it's to your point, it begs the question, like, why, if shaking hands with this guy is the catalyst for him to time travel, not only anywhere, but just to that specific date and that specific place or around that, you know, around that location, when he was in middle school, like, if that's the case, like, why did it happen in the first place? Right. Like, you know,
well, it's not, so the date isn't specific. They did say that, like, it's, after he travels back, it's exactly 12 years to, like, the second, I think, is what it is.
Okay.
So it's not that he's traveling back to the exact same date he traveled to before. He's traveling back, you know, a couple days later, because in reality, he's a couple days later in the current timeline.
Yeah. Okay, so, that makes sense.
So they did sort of explain that.
I guess in that sense that the more times he goes back and, like, fails... and has to do it over again, the more time they're losing, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, they're losing time in the past because he can only travel back so exactly far. 12 years, I think.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't catch on to that.
So that's sort of their fuse, I guess, you know, the
That makes sense. And that explains, like, the rush, I suppose, of him going back sooner rather than late, waiting more.
Yeah, I mean, well, to be honest, they didn't know that until he traveled back the second time, and he's like, oh, it's this date exactly 12 years in the past. And,
yeah, you know, but I remember the other guy having that theory that I think this is your ability.
Yeah, you can only travel 12 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a weird number, but whatever.
Yeah, okay, convenient.
Convenient number,
and
yeah.
So this is what reminded me of Steins Gate, because it's that whole aspect of, like, repeatedly... going back in time to try to save the woman you love's life, you know, or a woman that you care about. Because that Steins Gate, spoilers, I guess. But there's a whole sequence in the middle of that show that's very emotional and done very well, I think, where he just keeps failing to do that.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of, you know, this is in this show, this Takemichi's second time going back after he had failed the first time, not really knowing, you know, what he was doing. But so I'm curious if that, if it's going to go that way, if it's going to, you know, I don't know. If it is, it's like, okay, like, I just want them to do something different. Even if this time travel thing, like we talked about, is just very convenient and whatever. I'm willing to look past it if there's some other wrinkle to it instead of like, I don't know. I'm just like, where are we going?
Yeah. And so I guess that sort of brings us to my next problem with this show. After he travels back, we get a whole nother barrage of him not remembering his own past, which happened in the first episode. And it was like, okay, well, yeah, you might remember your past differently, but even then I felt like, you know, there are specific events that you would still remember.
Yeah.
And like, he travels back and he's in the middle of a fight that he doesn't remember. I don't remember every fight I've ever been in. So, you know, that's fine. I get that. But then he indicates, oh yeah, that's right. Back then I used to have to get into fights basically every day or every week or something like that, because my senpais, you know, made me fight. I was in like this fight club thing. Right. And yeah, you would remember that.
Yeah. What's so funny, because like from the first episode, you know, we learn that he views these middle school years as like his glory days,
yeah,
you know, when he was like on top of the world and like he's just gone downhill from there. But yeah, learning what we know now, it sounds like it was a freaking hellscape, like a nightmare he couldn't wake up from. Like,
I guess, I mean, so in this episode, he does talk about like how he left it all behind. Like he ran away, he left the girlfriend and all of it behind because of this sort of torturous life that he was, you know, put through. And I guess, I mean, there's probably something to said to be blocking out trauma or something like that. And maybe that's why he doesn't remember it, but I don't know. It just felt inauthentic for him not to remember having to get into fights every week for however long this goes on.
Yeah. At least have like a sensory memory of like, oh, now I'm reliving it and it's all flooding back versus like,
he gets there, he looks around, he knows what's going on, or he should, but he doesn't. And he like has to go through this mental recall of exposition for us. Yeah. I don't know. It feels very inauthentic. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair. And I was thinking too, that maybe, I mean, you know, it's just grasping at straws, I suppose, but like maybe in doing this time travel thing, there's some amount of disorientation where like once he shows up there, he's like, you know, he doesn't immediately know where he is or what he's doing.
Oh yeah.
Even though he was conscious of that when, you know,
as you wouldn't, I mean, I think back to the TV show Quantum Leap, where he very often just is dropped into a situation. He has no idea about what's, so in that show, he it's not like he has any memory of it because he's dropping into the bodies of other people or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's dropped into a situation. He has to sort of feel it out every time. And I suppose that would be the same even dropping into your own life at any time in the past. You have to figure out where you are.
Yeah.
But you still have a memory of your own past to the point that like once you're there, it wouldn't take you that long and you wouldn't have to spend 5 minutes of screen time thinking about it.
Yeah. He gets his ass beat in the process.
So anyway, yeah, I like the concept of this show, like time travel kind of gets me every time. Like I'm kind of on board with that. I even like, you know, I've watched several anime about, you know, the redoing high school, sort of thing, go back and fix the errors of your past and stuff, which I'm still not even sure that's exactly what this is, but the writing is just super lazy and kind of bad.
Yeah. Already like in the second episode.
Yeah.
I wasn't so harsh on it watching it, but I, you know, you make good points. Like it wasn't, despite these things we've been talking about, like overall, like I still enjoyed watching it. Like it wasn't like a, you know, like I thought it was a great episode, but it wasn't like painful to watch for me, but it sounds like some of these things prevented you from really like, you know, buying the rest of it or, you know, being invested in any of it.
It broke my suspension of disbelief very early on in this episode, and I couldn't recover from it basically.
Okay.
And so the rest of the episode was just a bunch of bull crap. To me.
Yeah.
And I was probably nitpicking every little thing because of that. But it's not horrible. I'm not dropping it. It sounds like I am, but I'm not.
Yeah. Just being critical.
I'm going to give it one more episode. Like, three episodes is kind of the rule, although for me, not always the case, because, you know, they can be bad enough that they get dropped earlier than that. But
yeah,
like, this isn't bad. It's still okay. And so
it's losing its footing a little bit, I feel like, but it's not like completely stumbled.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to like completely wow me with the next episode. It just has to stabilize.
Mm.
It's a little too unstable, I guess. It's a little too wobbly right now. You know?
It's almost like we need another reveal to kind of explain where we're at now. Whereas before, I feel like after the end of the first episode, it was, it had intrigued me and things were kind of open-ended of like where it could go. And now it's kind of painted in this corner of, because like now, I mean, to spoil the whole thing, I mean, at the end of the second episode, he got his ass beat, you know, in front of all his, you know, upperclassmen. Mm. And at the end of the second episode, he's like interrupting another fight one of his friends is involved in, who's weaker than he is, I suppose. But he's interrupting that to challenge like the main dude that that gave him a beating after his beating the day prior. He got beat twice in one day, and now I'm like, one of the notes I have was like, is he gonna die? I hope he has a plan. And then I was like, can he die? Like, what happens if he dies? I mean, he died originally to go back in time. What happens if he dies while he's in middle school?
Well, I mean, I'm just basing this off the previous episode where he was able to change the outcome of the future through his actions. So if he dies in the past, then he ceases to exist in the future and sort of undoes everything.
That's true. Or what if he goes back 12 years from that point?
But that doesn't mean that there's logic necessarily involved in the way that they handle that. So yeah, it's possible that he just dies and then goes back to the future and has to shake hands with his girlfriend's little brother again.
I
don't know. Which would be a complete cop out. So that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, and he's like, probably not going to die, but
yeah, that would be way more of a cop out than I think this show's even capable of.
But it's weird. Like that, the cliffhanger of this episode is almost like a reminiscent of a shonen anime, which, you know, I'm a fan of a lot of shonen, but it seems like it doesn't fit here where it's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, no one expects me to win, but I'm going to challenge the biggest, baddest guy here and I'll show all of you. But it's like, you haven't trained for anything. And like, it's not like we expect you to best him.
Right. But, you know, sort of isekai vibes. He's going to win, right?
I mean, he's the main character and it's the third episode we're going into. So I hope
so. And then because he wins, he's going to get all the information that he needs to complete the thing that he needs to complete, which we haven't spoiled. Yeah, whatever, you know, another episode, we'll see. I'm not giving high hopes to it. I am pretty sure unless something interesting happens, I will be dropping this. Like I say, it doesn't have to wow me. It just has to be interesting, which it's not thus far.
Yeah. So
it's minimally interesting. There's some interest, but it's not interesting enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm being too harsh on it. I don't know.
No, I hear you. I mean, it's one of those shows, I think, like, I'm giving it another episode, too. But it's one of those shows that's set up in such a way where it's hard to write it off at this point. Like,
yeah,
kind of need to see a little more to feel comfortable being like, wasting my time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of in limbo. I think we're on a similar page. I didn't write a rating for this one, but I gave the first one a 7. I think I got to go 6 on this one. It's
okay. You're generous.
Definitely lessened.
I think I went 5 on the first one, and I think I'm still at 5 on this one, which would normally mean I'm dropping it. Mm. But it's like a 5.1, maybe. It's just the hair above where it's like, I'll give it another one.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next show. We got Shadow's House, episode 2.
Yay.
Yay? Oh, are you enjoying this?
I don't know. I'm
not enjoying it. I'm just...
It's another one we both watch, so that's exciting to me.
Okay. I just don't think I would yay in response to that. That's all.
No, I'm on the fence with this one, honestly. probably even more so than the Tokyo Revengers.
But. Oh, really? Yeah, this one, like, I don't have a whole lot of notes on it, because sort of still trying to avoid spoilers. I just said this show has some dark undertones, which you, having watched it, probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of soot. No, I'm just kidding.
there's a lot of, I feel like, I'm not 100% sure this is the case, but it feels like there's some underlying meaning, allegory that's being described by this show.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's got some dark, not happy bits about it.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, it's interesting. Cause it almost seems like a bait and switch of the slice of life aspect versus this darker, dramatic show that it seems. Mm-hmm. And that's what has me kind of torn, is like, I don't know that it's pulling off both of those, but like there's a shoe that maybe hasn't dropped that will sort of tie everything together. But I feel like it's kind of stuck between two different shows where it's like kind of wants to do the slice of life thing, but then also wants to have this sort of dark drama that slowly unveils itself.
I think the next episode is going to solidify it a little bit, at least. Yeah. Based on this episode and sort of, was there a preview for the next episode or something? I'm not sure. There's something that indicated to me that the next episode was going to sort of solidify where we are. Yeah. There was a preview at the end. Yeah. I remember now. My notes are really light on this, cause I don't want to say too much because I don't want to be wrong, I guess is part of the reason, but also
you don't want to throw your hat in the ring on a prediction.
I don't want to say that it's going the way that I think it's going, or it's meaning what I think it's meaning, or any of that, but it feels like it is. There's like this episode just sort of gives us a lot of questions, not a lot of answers, maybe a few little small ones that, you know, were raised in the previous episode, which aren't super important or anything, but this one just pushes it further with the questions like, what is this show about? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, all I have is to hope that eventually we get some satisfying answers, I guess.
They were referred to as a family. So remember I was,
The Shadows family. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was kind of a thing we talked about last time of like, are they a family? I guess we can wait to get really into it until we know a little more. I wrote down just some silly things of in the beginning of this episode, Emiliko, who's our protagonist, who is a doll that has been assigned to Kate, right? She is sent to go clean the rest, you know, the big halls and hallways of this mansion that they, you know, this family resides in.
Yeah, with the other slaves. I mean, dolls.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. And so she meets these other dolls and you know, kind of get, we kind of learn a little more about like how things are run there and whatnot. But I, this is just silly, but she's given some equipment to clean. You know, it's got soot everywhere. And she's given this suit, and it's a soot suit. And so I wrote a soot suit riot. Yep. Yeah. That was my first note. I had to pause the episode to make sure I wrote that down.
No, that's pretty good. I didn't think of that at the time. But once I heard you setting it up, I knew where you were going.
Awesome. So yeah, we can keep it at that, I suppose, if we don't want to spoil anything more than that until we know more information.
Yeah, there's a lot left to be revealed, it seems, and hopefully more is revealed. Like, I don't know, next episode could just be more questions and very few answers, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it just depends on how they orchestrate that, I guess.
Well, it's like another show this season, we'll get to next episode, Odd Taxi. I remember mentioning last week with that one that we both like that show, and it's a show where there's a lot of intrigue and there's reveals every episode, some small, some a little bigger. But I mentioned last week, like, I feel like I'm in good hands, like writing wise.
Yeah.
But this show, it's not like I feel like I'm not, but I don't feel that very comforted either way, I guess.
I'm right there with you. It's like, are they ever going to actually get to the point?
Yeah. Do they have a roadmap?
And I'm not sure if they are or not. Yeah. It will reveal itself through time, and hopefully next episode at least gives us a little bit more of a nudge in the direction that they are going to, you know, make a point, or, you know, at least do what they're trying to do. Yeah, I'm just not sure at this point.
Yeah.
Same. So, yeah, but it animation, art, gorgeous, Cloverworks, love it.
Yeah, I like the aesthetic, sort of dark, gothic,
yeah.
Kind of meets Victorian kind of thing. It's really cool.
Gothic, Victorian, I think, kind of overlap a lot very often. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, looks good. Like the vibe is enjoyable in and of itself. The story is just like, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Waiting on story. Yep. That's where we're at.
Indeed.
All right. Moving on. We've got, I've been killing slimes for 300 years, yada, yada, yada.
That'd be great. I want an isekai. It's like,
it just says yada, 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 yada. Yeah.
You get it.
How would that? There's probably some Japanese phrase that would translate to yada, yada, yada.
I don't know. It's got to exist.
Anyway, so I'm enjoying this one still. Mm. Like it's, for a late pickup, you know, like something that I initially said I wasn't going to watch because it looked not good it's 6 out of 10, I guess. It's not quite a 7, but I think it's trending upward.
Not wasting your time.
It might be a 7 out of 10. First, I should start by apologizing to Dragon Chan. Last episode, I referred to her as a he several times. The dragon that she battles in last episode that I was talking about is in fact a female.
Okay.
It was revealed. I think we were purposefully led to believe that it was a male shonen type character at first. But it was revealed at the end of the episode that it was a female character because she transforms from her dragon form into this human form when she becomes the protege of our main character.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and I did say he several times last episode because I still had that shonen noise in my head from the previous incarnation. From the previous incarnation of that character. But anyway, so this episode opens with Dragon Chan, whose name I probably have written down. Let's find out. No, it just says Dragon Girl Chan. All right, we're just doing nicknames for now, I guess. Slime Killer Chan and Dragon Girl Chan are settling into their new routine. They're, you know, making food, cleaning, killing slimes. Slime Killer Chan sort of teaching Dragon Chan how to level up, I guess. I don't know. It's a little odd, but yeah. And then the main crux of this episode, and maybe very likely actually important going forward, a young girl shows up at the door. Like just knocks on the door, and they open the door, and there's this young girl there that says, my sister's trying to kill you. Maid or witch of the mountains or witch of the highlands. That's what Slime Killer Chan's referred to as by the people of the town. She's a witch. She lives in the highlands.
Okay.
The witch of the highlands. So yeah, this girl shows up and says, my sister's trying to kill you. Oh, by the way, I'm your child.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And it's pretty much the witch of the highlands reaction was, I could be my child. I don't remember, you know, birthing you or anything. Anyway, so throughout the course of the episode with, you know, conversations and whatnot going on, it's sort of revealed that all of the slimes that the Witch of the Highlands has killed over the course of 300 years, their souls have sort of collected together and formed these new entities. The girl who knocked on the door and the sister of the girl who knocked on the door.
Okay.
So the girl who knocked on the door is, she feels that the Witch of the Highlands is like her mother because she, you know, created her and essentially birthed her or whatever, right? So she feels this sort of endearment towards her. The sister, is very angry with the Witch of the Highlands for having killed all of those slimes. Like, she thinks that she's evil and she has to avenge all of the slimes. So she spends all of her time, the last 50 years or whatever, building up this resistance to the magic that the Witch of the Highlands uses, I guess, so that when she fights her, the Witch of the Highlands is at a severe disadvantage. But what Slime Chan number two didn't know is that the Witch of the Highlands would have a protege who is a dragon who you don't resist at all. And so the dragon, like, basically smacks her. And
okay.
And then
that was fortunate.
Yeah. And then she wakes up and all of her power that she has been working on for 50 years to store up is gone. So she's no longer resistant to the magic, no longer super powerful or anything like that. And the Witch of the Highlands and Dragon Girl Chan both basically say, oh, you girls should live with us. You know, we're starting a family. We've got a commune thing going on here or something.
Since you're my children anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're my children. You claim to be my children. You might as well live with me because you're cute little isekai girls, and why wouldn't you want that in your life, I guess, right? Anyway.
And they agree.
Yes. Yeah, they do. They both agree, actually. Yeah. That was very much the end of the episode where that happens.
Okay.
The only other note that I have written here is that their names are Falfa and Shalsha. Falfa is the good one, the nice one.
Okay.
And Shalsha was the bad one. And I'm not sure if there's any meaning to those names, and I'll look that up. And
was it Falafel and Shawshank? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Correct. Correct. Shurikens. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure if there's any sort of meaning to those. Like, Falfa sounds like alfalfa to me, like a grass thing or whatever. Shalsha, I'm not so sure of. Other than it sounds like salsa, which I don't think is what they're going for here. So I'm gonna look into those names and see if there's any sort of, you know, hidden meanings or something like that. Sure. Because they both sort of rhyme, and like it seems like there must be something there, right?
Yeah, some sort of significance.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go down a deep, deep rabbit hole on the internet.
Deep.
Trying to find information about this for you, the listeners, and you, George.
I'm curious.
Less you, more the listeners. And less listeners and more me.
There it is.
The truth of the situation. Anyway, so that's, I've been killing slime for 300 years. I'm actually quite enjoying this show, which I believe we mentioned before. We had a follower on YouTube, and I searched their username on the internet and found their My Anime list and looked at shows that they were watching and saw this show and said, okay, I'll check that out.
Nice.
And so, yeah, just even by subscribing to our YouTube channel, you are directing me to act in some way. I can't guarantee that everyone that subscribes to the YouTube channel will get the same treatment, or that, you know, searching your username will lead me to your anime list. It's entirely possible that the anime list I looked at was not even the same user as the person who subscribed on YouTube, but they have the same name. So, you know,
it's gotta be.
Anyway, yeah, decided to check this show out that I had sort of dismissed early on, and I'm somewhat enchanted with it at the moment.
Is it? What do you like about it? Is it funny, or what is your major like draw to it?
It is largely just a slice of life. It's very chill.
Okay.
The characters, like, they give a lot of room to the characters to live and breathe and develop. And the story isn't heavy-handed. It's not forcing us down this path. Like, literally the only thing that happened story-wise in this episode was the girls showed up.
And yeah.
That's and it. That's the entire episode, right? Last episode, the only thing that happened was the fight with Dragon Girl Chan, who then became her, you know, pupil.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just very, like, story-wise, there's stuff going on. There's an arc that's looks like it's going forward through the season, but it's not heavy. It's not deep. It's very light overall, I would say. And the characters are all likable. And even the townspeople who are, you know, sort of ancillary characters, not really main characters or anything like that. But every time we meet one of them or interact with one of them, very enjoyable to be around. You
okay.
know? Yeah. Cool. So not exactly Iyashike, but maybe, you know, just a touch of that, but a slice of life for sure, I think. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
Which is not at all what I thought from the title or my initial opinion after viewing the trailer for it, which I don't remember if this one's on Funimation, but Funimation does a poor job with trailers, I think.
Mm, yeah.
Not that they're necessarily making the trailers, I guess, so I shouldn't blame them. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mixed on trailers to begin with. I feel like there's an art to it in general, whether it's live action or anime.
I have noticed lately, this is a complete tangent, I have noticed lately a difference between the accuracy of subtitles on Crunchyroll and Funimation, because I largely watch things that are on Crunchyroll and very few things that are on Funimation. Generally, just that's how it happens to work out for whatever reason. The shows that Funimation picks up aren't shows that I am interested in for the most part. But in this season, in watching a lot of Crunchyroll and Funimation shows sort of back-to-back interspersed, Funimation makes a lot of leaps in their subtitles that are more trendy and like hip, like not necessarily even modern language that kids use, but like modern language that kids used 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
They do a lot of that stuff. Whereas, you know, Crunchyroll tends to, you know, just say what the characters are saying. There's some discrepancies here and there, but Funimation's, I don't know. Maybe we should cut all of this out. I don't know. I don't even know that I need to be talking about this, but
I'll keep an eye on that. Let's see.
Yeah. I mean, well, and it's probably hard for you to keep an eye on that because you don't necessarily understand many of the words that they're saying in Japanese.
Yeah. Some things I pick up on,
but I don't understand all of them, but there's enough of them that I do understand. And I'm like, that's not the words that they said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it's something that I do understand in Japanese and the words that are on the screen are not the same, it becomes difficult to process actually, because I'm sort of listening and reading at the same time.
Yeah. And well, if there's a major discrepancy, I'm sure it's just a distraction at that point.
Like, yeah. I very often have to pause and rewind and then reread the subtitle, because when I hear the thing and the subtitle, the words on the subtitles don't line up with what's in my brain, I just can't resolve what's even being said after that, I guess.
Yeah. It takes you out of it.
Yeah. It's not that. Yeah. It's not like it takes me out of it, like story-wise stuff goes, but yeah, I have to stop because I lose comprehension of both what's being said and what's written on the screen sort of at the same time. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of weird, but, Funimation just does sort of silly hip language stuff. Like I say, like early 2000s, language, that children, not children, but, you know, teenagers used in the early 2000s. They do that a lot more than Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll is more authentic. I don't know.
What do we got anything next?
No, George, that is it. That is all the episodes that we have for episode 8. We'll be back in a couple days with episode 9. If you need to let us know anything super important that we missed, you disagree with us, you agree with us, you love us, you hate us, whatever the case may be, let us know. We're on all the socials at Unlike Anime, UmlikeAnime, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all of the places you can find us. Yeah, let us know what you're thinking. Like I said, I may cyberstalk you, and maybe it'll lead me to something new to watch that I will enjoy. Or maybe I'll hate it and then you'll hate me. Whatever the case may be. Thank you for listening. I'm Tony, and this is George.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.